One of a quartet of soloists joining Polyphony and the City of London Symphonia, conducted by Stephen Layton. A choral Sunday at the BBC Proms with Mozart's Requiem from 7 o'clock.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news from Vaughan Savage.
Libyan rebels say they are closing in on the capital Tripoli from all sides. Opposition fighters have taken over the city of Zawiya in the west, and they are battling for control of Zlitan in the east. They also say they have seized the strategic port of Brega, although that cannot be verified. Colonel Gaddafi's spokesman insists government forces retain the upper hand. The Scottish Government has said it stands by the release of the Lockerbie bomber Abdel Basset El-Megrahi 2 years ago today. It said the decision to free him on compassionate grounds had been right under Scottish law. The Scottish Conservatives argued that allowing him to return to a hero's welcome in Libya was fundamentally wrong. West Midlands police have released closed-circuit camera footage of a group of people who took part in the riots in Birmingham almost 2 weeks ago. It shows shots being fired at unarmed officers and the force helicopter in the Newton area of the city. Police are treating it as attempted murder. A man who was found dead in woods outside Newport following a shooting at a hair salon has been named by police. 45-year-old Darren Williams from Cwmbran was suspected of shooting his former partner in the leg. Britain says it will back new sanctions against Syria to try to force President Assad from power. But the government has yet to decide whether to support a possible EU ban on Syrian oil sales. The Foreign Office Minister, Alistair Burt, said diplomacy alone had failed to prevent the killing of anti-government protesters. Residents of the Italian city of Florence are being asked to vote on plans to complete the facade of its largest church following a design by Michelangelo. The proposal to cover the Church of San Lorenzo in white marble was rejected 500 years ago because of the cost. The weather, outbreaks of rain, some of which will be heavy at times, will slowly spread from southwest England, reaching southern Scotland and northern England by the evening. In the far northwest of Scotland, it will be windy and showery, but southeast England should be mostly dry with sunny spells. It will turn showery overnight with some thunder. The BBC News and Weather at 2 minutes past one.
And so to today's early music show. Here's Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show. Today's programme is all about a gigantic fraud, an extraordinary story with a cast of choristers, townsfolk and high-up clergymen all desperate to further their careers. And amazingly, they almost got away with it. It all happened in France more than 900 years ago, and it concerns the brazen fabrication of the life of an obscure 3rd century saint, along with a rather amazing, in fact quite breathtaking, grand church mass that was created to honour him. Its composer, the perpetrator of the hoax, was a Benedictine monk named Adhémar de Chabannes. Monks and clerics like him had, of course, been composing new chants for hundreds of years, but Adhémar's apostolic mass that we're going to hear today is the earliest we have of any works before the 14th century, that is, which actually bears the name of its composer, which makes its recent discovery especially important. The events that led up to the Mass's first, in fact its only performance in its day, are pretty colourful, not least because of the riots that took place in the church almost as soon as the singers took their first breath. But before I tell you more, let's hear some music. The opening of the Apostolic Mass for St. Martial, performed by New York's Ensemble for Early Music, who we'll be hearing all through today's programme. People of God, now take up our song. We worship a man, a lofty pupil of the Lord, a disciple of Christ who was chosen by God to circulate the new dogma to the people of Limoges. So it all begins with a call to the faithful, and as we'll hear, most of them believed every word of it.
Oh.
part of the introit, the opening section of the Apostolic Mass for St. Martial, composed both words and music by Adhémar de Chabannes, and given on the 3rd of August 1029 in the Abbey of St. Martial in Limoges. This Mass represents a remarkable chapter in ecclesiastical history, but as we've heard, it was in effect part of a massive hoax perpetrated by one of the most extraordinary, not to say daring, individuals of the entire Middle Ages. And yet, he was a man who initially seemed to have everything going for him. Adhémar de Chabannes was born in Limoges in the year 989 into a family of distinguished churchmen. Before he was 12 years old, he was sent off to study at the nearby abbey in Angoulême. Something of a star pupil, he then returned to Limoges to complete his education under the tutelage of his uncle Roger, or should I say Roger, the cantor of the Abbey of St. Martial. He was certainly a high flyer, this Adhémar, now a brilliant writer and historian. With such an illustrious pedigree, surely getting a top job would just be a formal matter of signing on the dotted line. But things didn't turn out quite as expected. He was passed over for the abbotship that he was after. And when his patron died, the Count of Angoulême, the brilliant young cleric was left without prospects and, as it felt to him, without any future. However, over the next few months, as winter drew in, he was to come up with a solution, an idea that would require all the chutzpah he could possibly muster. Now, as we've heard, in Limoges was a shrine dedicated to St. Martial, who was a well-known 3rd century missionary sent by the Romans to become the city's first bishop. Built directly over St. Martial's tomb, the abbey was now one of the most important pilgrimage destinations in southwest France. And naturally, with so many visitors travelling in from far and wide, all sorts of stories and legends had grown up about the saint and his exploits, among them that he was actually one of Jesus' original followers, in fact, the lost 13th apostle. Of course, the monks in the abbey had heard it all before and resolutely ignored the rumours. Their patron saint was simply a venerated bishop and no way one of Jesus' inner group. As it happened, one November day in 1028, Adhémar de Chabannes found himself in the abbey while a special dedication service for St. Martial was taking place. He'd spent the last few months feeling frustrated and restless, and the ceremony now made a profound impression on him. He was struck by the great solemnity of the occasion, the magnificent assembly of clergy, and maybe most of all, by the enormous crowd of fanatical cult followers who squeezed into the church to pay homage to their local saint. In a flash, Adhémar saw what he needed to do. It was his eureka moment. But I'm going to leave you hanging on for a few more minutes while we hear some more music, the final part of the introit of St. Martial Mass. It begins with a long processional, a slow entrance of the choir, which lasted some 30 minutes. And all through the work, the liturgy is interspersed with Adhémar's own poetry. Martial, the disciple of Christ, gave splendour to the Aquitanian people, and he was marked by the Lord.
Thank you.
the final part of the processional opening of the Apostolic Mass for St. Martial, composed by the 11th century Benedictine monk Ademar de Chabannes. New York's Ensemble for Early Music was directed by Frederick Rentz. So, Ademar had made the decision that would lead to his downfall. He would embrace all those popular legends about St. Martial being the 13th apostle who had walked with Jesus in Galilee, and he would promote them as the truth. How could he fail? After all, there was no denying the enormous popular zeal for the saint's cult that already existed. And the result would make Limoges one of the most prosperous pilgrim sites in the whole of Christendom. And ultimately, of course, raise Ademar's own standing in the ecclesiastical world. It was to be a deception without parallel in the medieval church, if he could pull it off. Somehow, by means of his great learning, his charm, and presumably his powers of persuasion, Ademar now got the monks of the abbey to rewrite history, to transform their patron saint into a first century Jew, the younger cousin of St. Peter, and a man who was even present at the Last Supper. His chief vehicle for this promotion, though, was in the form of a complete liturgy, mass, and office that he would create for the saint's feast day. The liturgy, with its dramatic combination of words and music, smells and bells, of course, held enormous clout, and Ademar was certain that his composition would be powerful enough to convince everyone of St. Martial's true status. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, repeats the Kyrie. Christ have mercy. Ademar was certainly going to need that when it all came unstuck, which I promise you it did. Kyrie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kyrie and the Gloria from the Apostolic Mass for St. Marshall. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, here on BBC Radio 3, where today we're exploring a rather spectacular case of 11th century fraud, a church mass which proclaimed that St. Marshall, a well-known 3rd century Roman missionary, was actually one of Jesus's original apostles. The composer of this controversial work, Adhemar de Chabannes, was clearly operating on a grand scale. His mass was full of the sort of pomp and procession that was generally reserved for only the most important feasts of the liturgical year. And to give it extra gravitas, and therefore believability, he included quite a lot of music from the existing liturgy. But he was careful to make a few necessary changes to the text. After all, the traditional, the real story had St. Marshall as simply a mere bishop, and a 3rd century one at that. Like all the church music at this time, Adhemar's Mass was sung in plain song or Gregorian chant. That is, one single unison line without any what we might call harmony, which of course hadn't been invented yet. Nevertheless, even simple chant does encompass a great variety of styles. And this next set begins with the Alleluia section, which has just got the one word, but drawn out over patterns of rising and falling notes. So, everything was in place then. The date had been booked, the choir knew their parts, and the great abbey in Limoges was filling up with the faithful, all keen to witness a solemn service in honour of their very own patron saint. Marshall was the first to bring the new messages of the faith to the western regions, went Adhemar's poetry. Marshall put into effect the command given to the disciples by the Lord. But of course, no way had Marshall been there. He couldn't have. After all, he wasn't born for at least another 200 years.
Oh.
The Alleluia, the Sequence and the Offertory, the central part of the Apostolic Mass for St. Martial, composed by Adhémar de Chabannes in the year 1029. It was tough on the congregation, really. They hardly got to hear a single note of that glorious music, for as they settled in their seats, silence enveloped the church and the Mass was beginning. Disaster struck. Someone shouted out that it was all an act of blasphemy. The source of this unseemly racket was an itinerant monk from Lombardy, Benedict of Chiusa. Venerating St. Martial as the 13th apostle, he yelled, was not only ridiculous but a downright lie, an insult to Jesus and his real followers. It was obvious, he went on, that the abbey was simply looking for fame and fortune. Must have been a little bit like the scene in the Emperor's New Clothes story, for the fact was that deep down, everyone in Limoges, including the bishop and the abbot who were with Adhémar in the plot, knew jolly well that Benedict was right. The service was stopped and the unfortunate Adhémar was run out of town. So let's end today with the final sections of the Mass, which of course nobody actually got to hear. This is New York's ensemble for early music with the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, the Communion and the final Ite Missa Est. The Mass is ended. Sanctus. Final part of the Apostolic Mass for St. Marshall. So, with the cat out of the bag, Adhémar de Chabannes sensibly beat a hasty exit. In fact, he left France for good and spent the rest of his life in Jerusalem, still drumming up evidence for the apostolic status of his beloved St. Marshall. Perhaps he really did believe in the story after all, then. The most bizarre irony, though, is that although he never knew it, Adhémar succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. In spite of all the rumpus that day in the abbey, this was evidently a story that no one wanted to let go of. And within 50 years of Adhémar's death, St. Marshall was indeed venerated as an apostle throughout the Aquitaine region, and continued to be until as recently as the last century. How's that for a truly spectacular 11th century sham?
That was Lucy Skeeping. Today's Early Music Show was produced in Manchester by Sam Phillips and first broadcast in October 2009. The Early Music Show now has its own weekly podcast, you may wish to know, featuring edited highlights from the programmes, and you can get full details from the Radio 3 website.
The 2011 BBC Proms sequence of Saturday matinee concerts continues with a date in which two of our leading composers rub musical shoulders. On BBC Radio 3, we go live to London's Cadogan Hall for a performance of this work, Il Rosso Martello, by Peter Maxwell Davis, and the UK premiere of Harrison Birtwistle's eagerly awaited composition, Angel Fighter. A Saturday matinee at the BBC Proms, starting at 3 o'clock.
In the early 20th century, a prominent British movement sprang up under the title Music Appreciation, with the aims of introducing great or serious music to so-called ordinary listeners and teaching them the art of listening, mainly through radio. In the essay this week, the musicologist and cultural historian Richard Witts explains the movement's origins, ambitions and idiosyncrasies, and why it fell out of favour in the second half of the 20th century. In the first of four programmes on Monday evening, he looks at the movement's origins and the work of its British pioneer, Percy Sholes. The essay is at 11:15 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday evenings this week. Well, now it's 2 o'clock and we come to a repeat of last Monday's Proms Chamber Recital given at Cadogan Hall in London, which features the works of teacher and pupil Frank Bridge and Benjamin Britten. It includes two works which are being performed at the Proms for the first time and the London premiere of a work by Britten. Well, thanks to the work of the team at the Britten Peers Foundation, who are currently appraising and publishing the best of Britten's youthful works, we're going to hear his piano variations on a theme of Frank Bridge, written in 1932, and the two Proms premieres by Bridge himself. and performing are members of the Aronowitz Ensemble, formed 7 years ago by seven outstanding young international artists to explore the repertoire for strings and piano. They're former members of the Radio 3 New Generation Artist Scheme, and they've played twice before at the Proms and have had several works written specially for them. So for the first piece in today's concert, the Aronowitz Ensemble is joined by the distinguished oboist Nicholas Daniel, who has a close connection with the music of Benjamin Britten. At the beginning of his career, he worked a great deal with Britten's partner, Peter Peers, who told him that Britten used to talk about the oboe as being a vocal instrument. We're going to hear the Fantasy for Oboe and String Trio, a work which Nicholas Daniel describes as a short piece that really packs a punch. Britten's Fantasy, played by the Aronowitz Ensemble and Nicholas Daniel. Thank you.